guys, you're listening to Faction Fandom, where we talk about the Divergent book series by Miss Veronica Roth. I'm your host, Sheree.
And I'm Stephanie. Before we get started on everything, for future reference, we will try not to spoil too much into the later in the book, but sometimes it's unavoidable, and when we do get into it, we'll let you know.
So, Steph, what are you looking forward to this fall? Anything new coming up you're excited about?
When I wrote this up... When I wrote this up, I had a lot of things we were looking forward to because nothing had come out yet.
True. Okay, she wrote this up like a month ago, you guys, because we've actually already recorded this episode, except nothing recorded, so we were just talking to each other for like an hour and a half.
Oh, the joys of getting started. We shifted things around, but we're back. Episode 4, and that's us now. So, well, I was looking forward to Once Upon a Time came out. It started. Glee started. I wasn't going to be super excited about Glee. It's one of those shows that I was really into when it first came out.
And then it went downhill.
And now it's like trying to beat itself back up again. And then dear Corey Monteith just broke our hearts. And now I'm worried about how much it's going to progress at this point. Because, oh my goodness. Did you watch the tribute episode?
Yeah, it was sad.
I cried so much.
I was so like tired that day, and then to go home and watch an emotionally draining show, I was not happy about it. Oh, and I miss him so much.
I know. It was hard because you're just like, you feel for the characters, but then you realize it's not really acting because a lot of them were just first takes. This was a raw emotion on how they felt about Corey, and it was just, whew. Yeah, I cried too. So what are we looking forward to this fall? Books-wise, Allegiant comes out, like, tomorrow?
Allegiant comes out, except, however, by the time this episode posts, I bet you Allegiant will already be out.
Thanks. Thanks a lot for that.
You.
Yeah, I know, I'm slow. That's okay. So Allegiant will be coming out. Super excited about it. So pumped. I'm really looking forward to reading Fangirl. It has already come out, but I haven't read it yet, and I've heard great things about it. And now I want to read it.
Did you see Once Upon a Time in Wonderland?
Not yet. Is it really good? Do you like it?
It has so much potential to be amazing. I think it's going to be really good. I have high hopes for it.
Really?
Well, okay. I love Alice in Wonderland.
I know you love Alice in Wonderland. So that's exciting. The Shadowhunters Codex comes out this month also. But that's going to be a lot of fun. It's like an encyclopedia for the Mortal Instruments series, which I love. Champion comes up on the 1st of next month.
I'm so happy.
Yay, Champion. And then there's this really cool book called These Broken Stars that's going to come out in December. And I don't even know why I'm excited about it because I think I'm just looking for a sci-fi book to get into. But it comes out in December, so why put myself through that? But I just remember reading the description on Goodreads and thinking that it was going to be really, really cool. But it's about these two characters who get lost in space together.
They get lost in their eyes.
So those are my books that I'm looking forward to. And the other fandom world, I'm excited about the Doctor Who anniversary that comes out next month. I'm excited about Once Upon a Time that already premiered. I'm excited about the Wonderland spinoff that already premiered. Everything already premiered. And then I finished Merlin. I started it and I was powering through the episodes on Netflix. And I finished the series. Sure.
Did you cry, Steph?
I did. I teared up a little bit. It's not one of those that you cry at the end of. Because, okay.
Okay, so Steph, let's get down to the hard-hitting questions people really want to hear about, okay? How many episodes did you watch in a day? Break any records.
It's hard to say because I go to school. And then I stay at school and I do my homework because I'm supposed to be, you know, doing that. So I would only power watch through episodes maybe like in the mornings and when I get home at night, and then like on Saturdays and Sundays I'm glued to my desk.
Yeah, what was the most you watched in a Saturday?
Oh, maybe almost a whole season. Maybe about 10 episodes a day. On the weekends, on the Friday, on the Saturdays and the Sundays, I probably would watch through 10 episodes. And then shows, right. Okay, so all of that happened. And then Ender's Game comes out on the 1st again. Ender, that has not come out yet. We're excited about Ender's Game. We're excited about Catching Fire, obviously. I'm not excited about Percy Jackson because I've heard horrible things about it, even though I...
We left out of the theater. We walked out of the theater.
You can tell about... Yeah, you can share your experience with that if you want.
We went to watch the Sea of Monsters because we had nothing else to do, and one of my really, really good guy friends was going to leave the next day to college, so we had nothing to do. We're like, well, let's go watch a movie and just hang out. We were in the middle of the theater, and he had never seen the first one, so he was already lost. And then we had all read the book, of course, and we're just like, this is the crappiest movie we've ever seen. We don't want to sit here anymore. And I turned to the guy and I said, dude, are you okay with us leaving? And he's like, yes, please. So we just left and we just sat and talked outside the theater.
Yeah, I've heard horrible things about it, you know, and you thought, oh, after 7 years, it's going to be really, really good. And just nada. So there's all that good stuff. And I think that's all I have going on. Oh, The Hobbit. The
Desolation of Smaug.
Comes out in December. So excited about that too. Okay, so that's everything that I was looking forward to. What are some things you're looking forward to, Sheree, for this semester /
Okay, well, you said everything except for New Girl and the Vampire Diaries.
Oh, New Girl's exciting. You watch the Vampire Diaries? You do? What do you think about their spinoff? What's it called? The Originals?
The Originals? I haven't watched it yet. It's on my queue, but I haven't watched it yet.
No? Well, I want you to talk about your favorite fandom, though. It premiered this week. Supernatural? Because that was a big one everyone was excited about.
Oh my god.
I literally tried to get on Tumblr. What was it? Wednesday? Thursday? Tuesday? One of those days? I couldn't get on Tumblr all day long because all I saw all day long was Supernatural, Supernatural, Supernatural. That's all anyone blogs about on Tumblr. Like, they exploded. But yeah, tell us about it, Sheree. It premiered this week.
Really looking forward to Supernatural premiering this week. And I am dead. I have died. Passed away.
Why is that, though? Why would you be dead if you enjoyed it so much? I mean...
You don't enjoy Supernatural. You suffer through the tears.
What do you mean you... So why watch it if you suffer the entire time?
It's such a good show. Why do I watch it? It's so hard.
I don't understand. Okay, well, answer this question. I don't watch it. I only know bits and pieces of what I've seen people post and talk about. Did Cass leave? Is he leaving? Is there anything about that happening?
Okay.
Don't put your hand over your face like that. I don't know.
Cass didn't.
That's whatever.
Leave. Technically speaking, Cass didn't leave. Cass left last season and he came back already. However, Cass was under mind control, so he kind of did a bad thing or two, and Dean was mad at him for a long time. But then when he came back from out of mind control, okay, this is way too hard to explain. How about I say that Cass makes a lot of bad decisions, and this past bad decision he made every single angel lose their wings. So Cass is human now because somebody took his grace and his wings,
oh,
of course.
My goodness.
So he's trying to get back to Dean, but he can't because he doesn't have any money and he doesn't have any food and he doesn't have any water, and there are angels everywhere that wants to kill him.
I don't blame him.
He took their grace.
That's like one kid, you know, ruining it for the whole class, basically. Only on a monumental level.
Well, it wasn't technically his fault. He was tricked.
Aw, poor kid.
It was really evil Metatron's fault.
Evil people. I really have to watch this show now because he gets so confused by you and Pither
people. It's so good stuff. Oh my gosh. Okay, the first two seasons are like super scary. Legitimately terrible.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, it's not so scary. And then season 4, Castiel comes out. And that's when everything's awesome. Because Castiel is the coolest angel in the freaking universe. I love Misha Collins.
I like your dance you're doing. That's kind of what happens with Once Upon a Time, only in reverse. You know, the first season was very whimsical, lighthearted, magical. Now it's very dark. Not like demon or anything, it's just it's got this whole, you know, they do a lot of blue hues, a lot of dark black and blue and purple hues. There's not a lot of light going on. There's not a lot of happiness going on. Everyone's just kind of in this constant.
Did you watch the newer episodes?
Yeah. I've been watching it ever since. I mean, I get why they're depressed, but still.
No. Do you like Peter Pan as evil?
I don't know. Kind of?
I'm kind of personally not. Offended by it.
I kind of like the take of it, though. That's what they do. You know, they take these stories and then they twist them around. And you just don't really know what's going to happen when they do that. And they made Peter Pan kind of evil. I don't know about Tinkerbell, because when you think about the Disney version of Peter Pan, and Tinkerbell comes off as having an attitude, right? She's kind of mean. She's the mean girl. I don't know what Tinkerbell's going to be like in this one. Is she going to be the mean girl? Is she going to be an accomplice to Peter Pan? She's got this whole camaraderie thing with Regina, from what we've seen in the previews, so I have no idea.
I hope that they stay true to the fairies, because fairies can be good and can be evil, and it all depends on which mood they're holding inside them. And I don't really mind if they make her just completely evil or whatever. But Peter Pan is such a character, I'm like personally offended by it. Like, they could have made anybody evil and I wouldn't have cared, but they made Peter Pan evil and I care.
I'm sorry. On to news! Dun 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 dun!
News time!
There isn't a lot of really new news to talk about. I had listed all of these different quotes that came out, you know, like a month ago. When they actually came out. But at this point, there's like a ton of new quotes. I thought, now, a lot of people think that there are only three or four new ones that have hit the media circuit. But if you check out the lexicon, there's like 8 of them. So in total, there's like these 12 new Allegiant quotes that have been released, approved by Miss Veronica Roth. And they're there for your reader enjoyment. If you want to check those out, I have some posted on the website, and there are some of the lexicon, which we have also posted on the website, so you can check that out if you want to look at those. But moving on.
Allegiant, Veronica Roth is going to make a tour with her Allegiant book, and she'll be there for book signings at Barnes & Noble's, correct? They're happening at Barnes & Noble's?
Not all of them are. The one in Texas is going to be at Barnes & Noble. The first one, I think, is going to be in a theater of some sort in New York on the 22nd when the book actually comes out. She's going to be signing in New York. But I don't know where in New York it's going to be, because I don't live in New York. So I couldn't tell you. But it will be on the 22nd. And then she's going to move on the next day to Texas. And that one will be at a Barnes & Noble. And then she's going to move to San Francisco on the 24th. And then she's going to move to Illinois on the 26th. So those are her Allegiant tour dates. And I don't know where everything else is going to be. But those are exciting for people who live in New York, Texas, California, and Illinois. Have you heard of this place? You said it might be where she's from. This place called Downers Grove, Illinois. I mean, the other ones are New York, New York, Dallas, Texas, San Francisco, California.
It's actually lives near Chicago, and so I would suspect that one that she's doing in Illinois is probably her hometown.
Because Chicago is in Illinois, right? You told me about that last time?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe Downers Grove is home for her. So there you go. If you're in any of those places or near any of those places, check that out. She will be going there. I love her blog. Her blog is great. I'm going to plug that super quick. It's Veronica Roth at blogspot.com. She posts some really fun stuff, and she keeps up to date. I think I fangirl over Veronica Roth too much. I'm sorry. I just think she's the most awesome person in the world. Awesome. Did you know, Shuri, that pre-orders for Allegiant, book sales have already plummeted, and they're selling copies four times as many copies as they did for Mockingjay?
In pre-orders alone, or in total copies of books sold?
I'm guessing pre-orders, because total copies of books sold hasn't hit yet.
Well, let me tell you also that Hunger Games didn't get popular until after The Mockingjay came out.
That's also very true. Okay, so I'm going to start calling it, I don't have it on here, Sheree, but I'm going to start calling it Other Fandom News. If you have anything to add to our Other Fandom News, you can put that on there.
The Fault in Our Stars has finished filming in America, and they have moved on to Amsterdam.
Woohoo!
And So I think Amsterdam's our last location, if I'm not mistaken, and I might be. But I know a lot of people are done filming, and they're going to film just with a couple people in Amsterdam. And Jeremy himself made an appearance and got into makeup. So he's on the film, and I don't know what he's doing. I don't think he would be.
It's his cameo.
Super excited about that. Love the job.
You said you don't know who he'll be?
No, I think he's just going to be an extra. Or maybe somebody ordering coffee. You know, I don't think it was. I don't think he plays a part.
What could John Green be? And you think they'll give him a line?
John Green posted this thing, and it said, and it was an actual quote from the director, and it said, "Totally adequate, very usable." And that's what the director said about his acting skills.
So I thought, which is weird, because he doesn't have, like, can you see him being a really great actor?
No.
He does his videos, but can you see him being a kind of, like, open character to just be a fabulous actor?
Not personally. I think he's a great writer. He's a fabulous, wonderful writer. Maybe not the best actor. I couldn't see him acting.
If the director says that's completely adequate, it just kind of gives you a perspective of, if he has a line, what that line is and where his character slash extra is in the show. Like, he's totally being himself. You know, he's probably not doing some big extravagant thing. He's probably being his dorky self and whatever he's doing on there. So that'll be fun to theorize. Also, I probably should have looked up details before this, but the film rights to Legend have been sold. I say that they've been sold. I can't just say, Legend's gonna be a movie! Because when that happens, you know, you never know if it's gonna be a movie next year, like, or if it's gonna be a movie in 2017. You just never know.
Uglies?
Mm-hmm.
The movies were bought years ago, and Shailene was actually cast as,
really?
Yeah, as the main actress for the Uglies, but the movie was dropped, even though they still own the movie rights. So somebody would have to purchase the movie rights from whoever owns them. I think Fox might own them. I don't actually know. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things. Shailene was, like, cast in everything, but she was cast in Uglies before she was cast in all the things she's cast in now.
Mm-hmm. We don't know when it's going to be or what's going to happen with it. I think people just saw the book series is becoming bigger, and there are so many adaptions happening that, you know, almost every book franchise that comes out, or series, whatever, almost every YA book gets offers for movie rights at some point in time. And a lot of them, the reason why they don't have that is because they just turned it down. Or because, you know, they buy them so that nobody else can do it later, basically. But they don't have any intention of doing anything with it at the moment. So who the heck knows? But it's still exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all of our news, right? Moving on.
Chapter by chapter.
Chapter by chapter. So what chapters are we reading for chapter by chapter this week, Sheree?
Our chapter by chapter is going to cover 9 through 13, meaning 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, but not 14.
Got it. So we'll start with chapter 9. Yesterday, the initiates started to learn fighting techniques. So today they're fighting each other. Beatrice isn't assigned, so she's just going to stand back and watch. And the first two people to fight each other are Will and Al, which is kind of sucky because they're friends. But they're just sort of sparring, right? They're not really fighting each other. And Eric comes in. He's like, look, one of you has to lose. So Al steps it up and beats Will pretty badly until he just can't go on anymore. And so Al wins. And then next up is Molly against Christina. She's bigger than Christina. Christina's pretty strong, but Molly is really just a lot bigger. And she's one of the bullies. You know, you have the three bullies of Peter, Molly, and Drew. You know, they're the ones who pick on everybody. And so to be fighting against Molly, Christina, you know, already hesitant about it. But then, unlike Will and Al, where he kind of fainted, Christina ends up, you know, on the floor. She's bleeding. She can't take it anymore, so she forfeits. And the problem with that is that Eric finds that unacceptable. You know, you don't forfeit when you're in Dauntless. You don't give up. So he tells her, fine, you can leave, or you can hang off the chasm. And so there's this big thematic scene where, this is what gets me. She was just beaten up. She's like, you know, probably bruising and everything, and she's tired, and, you know, she's beaten up. Now she's got to, like, hang over the side of the chasm. Water's going to be rushing up onto her, and she has to hang like that for 5 minutes. Shuri, tell me something. What do you think the chasm looks like? They say that she climbs over the railing and then she, you know, hangs onto the bar and hangs off of it like she's dangling from it. It's so hard to picture because they're supposed to be underground, like in these caves. But I imagine there being like a seawall, you know, and then her climbing over the railing of like the sidewalk or something and then hanging by one of those railings against the seawall while, you know, the ocean or the tide or whatever is like washing up on her. That's the image that I have in my head. Is that what you were sort of visualizing whenever you read it? Or
okay, you know how sometimes when you're reading things, you take places that you had been to or lived in when you were a little kid?
Yes.
Well, in this particular case, I've never been to Chicago, except for I've been to the airport, which doesn't count. And I don't know what this underground thing is, and I've very rarely visited the ocean. And the only cave I have been in is the Sonora Caverns. Mm-hmm. And the Sonora Caverns have these really cool helictites, I think that's how you say that, which are really cool. They look like ice school formations, kind of. I don't really know how else to say that, but they're made out of rock and stuff. So basically, I imagine their place kind of looking like that, except there are times when you can see over into complete darkness, and then I just added water in at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So Google defines chasm as a deep fissure in the earth, rock, or another surface. Some synonyms: crevice, gulf, gully, ravine, canyon, abyss.
It's like a ditch.
Yeah, but more like a canyon. If a synonym is canyon, it's got to be bigger than a ditch.
Big. It's like a cliff.
Yeah. Okay, I've got an image for you.
Okay.
Have you seen Pirates of the Caribbean 2?
Yes.
You know, in the beginning, when they're trying to find Captain Jack, and the crew members of the Black Pearl are hanging, they're hanging in the bones cages.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, that's a chasm.
That's a good visual. Got it. Yeah. I was reading through it and I had a hard time visualizing it, you know? So she's hanging off of that. She has to hang for 5 minutes. The big thing about this whole scene though is that, you know, Triss, since she's been in Dauntless, has this whole inner struggle with, I can't be selfless anymore, but I want to be selfless. Cause, you know, she didn't leave abnegation because she was not selfless. She left because she wasn't selfless enough, you know? So she still feels like she should be giving and selfless sometimes. She just can't get over that. And that's her big struggle, is that, you know, she's trying to make that transition into Dauntless. And she has this whole thing where she wants to help Christina. You know, the entire time Christina's hanging, she wants to help her friend. But she doesn't want to get in trouble. But more so, she doesn't want Christina to get in trouble because she knows that Christina will be punished too if that happens. But after the 5 minutes, her and Al help her over the ledge.
So we know that she's Dauntless. We know that she's both things and that she can't be controlled by the government.
Yes.
What do you think it says about her that she won't rebel against this? She lets it happen.
I don't think I follow you. What are you trying to say?
She let her friend hang on for dear life, which is bad in all cases of the word.
Okay, yes.
Everybody in a normal, non-dystopian, functioning, living society would not let that happen. They would help their friend.
Yeah.
Now, in this particular case, she fought down her abnegation.
Desire to help her friend. Okay.
Help her friend due to the consequences of the actions, which is basically what the... Words, man. How do I make describe this?
So the whole theme of the book is not letting authorities, you know, tell you what to do or how to think.
Right.
And she's doing that. She's letting that happen because she's letting the rules of Dauntless dictate whether or not she helps her friend. And you're asking, why did she do that?
I'm asking why it's written this way. Do you think it's because she's not friends with Four yet? And so she doesn't really know how to be divergent, or she's not rebellious yet and she grows into that later?
I don't think that it has anything to do with her being rebellious, in all honesty. Her being divergent, it doesn't, you know, it's all about the way she thinks. Being rebellious or wanting to fight the authority is kind of a different concept than thinking differently than somebody else, you know? So I don't think she was necessarily wants to be rebellious, because at this point, you know, she doesn't see leaving a faction as an option. You know, they haven't even passed the first stage of initiation in Dauntless. We're still pretty early in the book. So I don't think rebellion has opened up as an option to her yet.
Oh,
I think she's still trying to figure out what Divergent is and how she's going to handle that. You know, does she embrace it? Does she fight it? How does she hide it? Is it something that's bad? Is it something that's okay? You just have to, you know,
so she's,
why does she have to hide it?
She's fighting it right now. Obviously, this is where she's fighting it.
Yes.
When does she get to the point where she doesn't fight it? Since I don't
know. Later in the book, again, you know, we talked about spoilers earlier, but later in the book when she sees Tori again, and she has Tori explain to her what the deal is about being Divergent and why she can't tell anybody, I think that opens her mind to seeing, you know, what is it about being Divergent that's so dangerous? What is it that the government doesn't like? So I think once she figures out why it's bad, she's going to realize then, you know, she can embrace Divergence and it's not such a bad thing. But at this point, I just don't think she sees rebellion as an option. Does that explain your question?
I'm just trying to strike up conversation.
Okay. Right. So then we get into chapter 10. The next day, she didn't fight anybody yesterday. So the next day, they're fighting some more. And now Triss gets to fight somebody. But who does she fight? Peter. You know, of all the people she's going to fight, you know, they paired her off with the biggest bully, the biggest antagonist, and Triss is small and she's skinny and she's going to fight Peter. You know, he's brutal. Anyway, so yeah, they're going to do that. It doesn't take Triss long before Peter has her on the floor. She's out of breath. Her vision is going blurry, you know, et cetera, et cetera. She's losing her senses and Peter just keeps at it. I think Triss thinks about Christina and she doesn't want to give up like Christina did. So right before she faints, Triss hears somebody say, "Enough!" I don't think they really shouted enough, you know, but they say that. You know, I imagine her being having like some type of blurry vision. And, you know, as she's fainting, somebody just, you know, she hears it faintly in the background. Anyway, but, you know, we never get a clear indication of who says that, but we're going to assume it's four. You think it is? She's nodding her head. When Triss wakes up, she is in the infirmary with her friends, and there's this tender moment between her and Al. And that's when we figure out that Al actually likes Triss. It's kind of weird, you know. I feel kind of bad for Al. Not because, you know, Triss doesn't like him. But, you know, she says she doesn't like Al because he's weak. And I feel kind of bad for him about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I don't know. He's just a person. He just doesn't like fighting because he doesn't like hurting people. What do you think about them not throwing in that love triangle?
Well, personally, I love that they didn't throw in a love triangle. It's so annoying.
They could have done a lot with that. But, you know, she didn't. You know, that's one of the things I admire about her books. So that was chapter 10. Then we'll move on to chapter 11, which is the next day. Man, these books, these chapters, they go day by day, don't they? They're going to take a field trip to the fence around... Is it the cities or is it one city? Do you think each faction is like a neighborhood? And the whole faction society is like a city?
I was under the impression that the whole thing, the faction was a neighborhood. And the whole thing was a city. So the fence surrounds everybody, not just factions.
The metroplex of the Chicago area.
Yeah, I think that Chicago's very small in the future. There's a ton of abandoned buildings. And I think the population is so minimal. I don't actually think there's a ton of people there. I think it's like going to a big high school or something, you know, where there's like 2,000 kids in your class. And then that's actually like 2,000 kids would be in all of the faction.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like it's small.
Oh, wow. I guess I imagine it kind of big. But anyway, they're going to travel to the fence. And the fence is basically the barrier around all of the factions, the whole city. At this point, we learn that Four was ranked first in his initiation class. And when he had his first pick of career choices, he chose to work in the control room. So that's kind of different because you don't really think of that as being first choice for the Dauntless compound, but that's what he wanted. And that explains a lot of why Eric is so jealous of him. Meanwhile, Triss runs into her Amity buddy / abnegation buddy. What's his name? Robert. Oh, Robbie. So she runs into him and he's doing his thing, planting trees, being all Amity-like or whatever, and gives her a hug and, you know, they're catching up or whatever. But I love the conversation they have because, you know, she just came out of her fights. You know, they were fighting the day before. And so he asks her about her face and she's like, "It's just something we do in Dauntless." And he's like, you know, you could always leave if you wanted to. And he tells her that, like, assuming that she'd want to leave. And she's like, well, why would I want to leave? There's a reason why I left, you know? So she's not kind of offended by that. And he says, whoa, you know, I didn't mean to offend you. I'm just saying that I think you should be happy. And if you're getting beaten up, obviously you're not that happy. And I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting because before now, we haven't seen many of the other factions. You know, we've seen Abnegation and Dauntless, and now we see Amity and what their mindset is. They see peace and happiness and the pursuit of that as kind of like their theme. And I like that we finally get to see that. But then they end up leaving. And we see the guy in the back of the truck playing the ukulele.
It's my ukulele guy.
Right, so she runs into Four. And Four just kind of tells her, you know, out of the blue, that if she learned to attack first, she might win her fights because she's fast. And then she tells him, I'm surprised you know that since you left through my one and only fight. And Four answers, well, it wasn't something I wanted to watch.
Aww.
Yeah.
You didn't ship it by now. You were not reading the book, right?
Which is a great segue into the next chapter, which is our Ferris wheel chapter.
It's Ferris wheel chapter. It's a surprise game of capture the flag today. So on the train, they split into two teams. And of course, Eric and Four are the team captains. And Four picks first and he picks Triss. And you shoot so hard, don't you die.
But you don't really know why he picks her, right?
Okay, so she doesn't understand Four's plan until she notices that all the people on our team are lean and small, and they're not the big, dauntless stereotype, you know?
Like bulky kids.
Mm-hmm. Muscular. The big and the tall. Muscular people, yeah. And so she figures out the Four's team is going to be really fast. And she says that Eric is more ruthless than Four, but Four is smarter. And I've always thought that brains are better than bronze, but that's personal opinion. And apparently the opinion on this book, too. Okay, so her team gets off, and they get off first, and they decide to go to the Ferris wheel. And everybody's arguing about strategy, and so Triss just takes matters into her own hands, and she climbs the Ferris wheel so she can get a better look about where the other team is, instead of just sitting on the ground and arguing about strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Four follows her up the Ferris wheel. And as
oh, my goodness.
Now we know from Four's book, he's afraid of height.
Uh-huh.
Triss realizes how nervous and aware she is around Four.
She says things like, you know, I can just tell, you know, there are only 5 inches between us, or I'm very aware of, I've never been this aware of him. You know, she doesn't understand why she's so flustered by his presence.
It's their chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual tension.
Oh my gosh, yes.
When Four is like really shaky when they get to the top, and we find out that he's afraid of heights. And when they're high enough, Triss spots the other team. But when they're getting back down, one of the rail breaks, and she's hanging there, and she's calling out Four to help her, but he doesn't do anything until the Ferris wheel starts rotating and bringing her close to the ground. And so she finally jumps off.
So they run, and they have this team of who's going to go get the flag. But it's kind of cool because when it comes time to go actually capture the flag, Christina is the one who captures it, not Triss. Like, I don't know. Christina seems like kind of selfish right there because she's like, you know, I already did this. You know, you're the hero. Let me get this one. And so Triss lets her do that. Christina gets it and they win. They capture the flag or whatever.
Could have just been like, so they climbed up the Ferris wheel together. You find out he's afraid of height. It's really cute. They have this moment. And then the Ferris wheel goes off and she almost falls, but then she jumps out and they're discovered. So now they have to run to co-capture the other flag.
Yes, that would be great too. You just summarize the whole thing. Yeah, the last chapter, chapter 13, they do the knife throwing scene. So everybody's doing knife throwing and Four demonstrates how to knife throw. And basically it takes Triss a while to learn how to get it, but she finally gets it down. The only person who doesn't really know how to throw the knife at this point is Al. And he's throwing it, and Eric is getting really, really frustrated with him. He's getting really ticked off about it. And so he tells Al to go get his knives while everybody is still throwing. And Al says no. He flat out tells Eric no. And so Eric is, like, super pissed at that. Like, he won't take it. So he's really big on punishing them, isn't he? He tells him to go stand at the target while Four throws knives at him. And I guess that's supposed to help him be brave? I don't get it. Because, like, how is that productive, really? I mean, you're just going to stand there while somebody throws knives at you. Either they're going to hit you or they're not going to hit you. But, like, how... I don't even know. Ford doesn't really get it either. He's kind of reluctant about it. But eventually, you know, Triss is really bugged by that, you know. And she... I love how she kind of tells Eric off. She tells him, you know, you're just bullying us. Which, the last time I checked, is a form of cowardice. And I love... Gosh, I love her for that. She just, like, stands up to him and puts him in his place. So he's like, fine, you can go stand in his place. So what do we have? We end up having Triss standing in front of the target while Four is supposed to throw knives at her. And they go a couple rounds and she's able to stand it. But eventually, you know, they get to this point where she could just see something different. And when he throws the knife, he actually nicks her ear a little bit. Like, he just skins it. He doesn't stab her ear, but he skins it a little bit. And apparently that's when Eric says, fine, I've had enough. Everyone, go home. But of course, you know, she's, like, really mad about it because she can just tell that Ford did it on purpose for a reason. And so she confronts him about it and she's like, you know, why did you do that? And he says he really did hit her ear on purpose, but that she should thank him. And she's like, thank you. You almost stabbed my ear. You spent the entire time taunting me. Why should I thank you? And Ford just says, you know, I'm getting a little tired of waiting for you to catch on. And he walks out. And that is the end of the chapter. Moving on, I have a song from Veronica's Divergent playlist. It's Help, I'm Alive by Metric. And Veronica says that this is Beatrice's initiation song. And so since we've kind of gotten a little bit into Beatrice's initiation, you know, this would be a good time to play that. And here it goes. I tremble. They're gonna eat me alive. If I stumble, what did you think of the song?
I really liked it. It was really good.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of interesting. It's not what I would have first thought of. I don't know. Veronica just has one of those eclectic tastes, I think. And it's not my first pick as far as music goes, but I love how when I listen to them, it fits.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was like that with the first song we listened to and like a couple of, you know, episodes ago. And it's like that with this one. You know, it's not something I listen to all the time, but I can see it fitting that. So I really like it. I'm going to have to download that one. Alrighty, moving on to 20 questions. We thought we'd have fun a little bit because we weren't having enough fun already. And play a game of 20 questions. Shiri, you pick something from Divergent. I will pick something from Divergent. And we are going to see who can guess what in 20 questions or less. Do you have something in your head?
Yes, I have something in my head, Stephanie.
You have it? Okay.
And
these are yes or no questions, right?
It's in Divergent.
Is it a person?
No.
Okay, are we allowed to ask that at the beginning? Is it a person, place, or thing?
Yes, it's a thing.
It's a thing, okay. Is this thing something you would use in the Dauntless faction?
No.
is something you would use in the abnegation faction?
Yeah.
Is that's it small? Huh?
That's question three.
How was that? No, that first one was my first question. Was those are
that's your first
that's to get you started.
It's your first question, though.
It's your first question?
Yeah.
That kind of sucks. How is that supposed to take?
Okay. It's a huge okay. giveaway. It's like the giveaway
okay,
question.
Okay, yes, it is. Alrighty. So it's my giveaway question. It should be called 19 questions then, because everybody asks that question.
It should be called 19 questions because you don't want the first question, which is a question.
Yes.
Oh my
exactly.
gosh.
Exactly.
I'm not even going to talk to you about that.
Alright, fine. That's my third question. Is this thing smaller than a book?
No.
Is it bigger than a house?
No. Okay, now you've asked 5 questions. You understand that, right?
Yes.
Got like 3 fingers up, and I'm like, no, we're on 5.
Sorry, I have my 5 questions. Okay, 5. Is this thing make noise?
Yes.
Okay. Does this item... Is it... It makes noise? Is this item bigger than a book but smaller than a house? Is it something you hold?
Yeah.
Can you hold this item? I think I might know what it is. Is this a
you can get it this, on 9 questions.
Is this item something you would use in Amity?
Yes.
Is your item a ukulele?
Yes, it is.
That's adorable.
10 questions, oh, Stephanie. Congratulations, you broke the record.
I did. It was really easy, though. Because we just know you like the ukulele. My goodness. Okay. Okay, I feel like I should pick someone just to, something just as easy. I think there's something we've already talked about. Okay.
Alright.
Okay, I have something.
Person, place, or thing.
It is a place. I'm gonna choose a place.
Okay.
Just make it a little, maybe a little easy, I guess.
Is it a place in a specific faction?
Yes.
Okay. Is it in the Dauntless faction?
No.
Is it in the Amity faction?
No.
Oh my gosh, Stephanie.
We've only ever talked about one other faction, sure.
Is it in the Abnegation faction?
Yes.
Do people live in the place?
Yes.
Are the people that live in the place part of a faction?
Are you trying to ask me if this... I already said it was in Abnegation. If they live in this place in Abnegation, wouldn't they be a part of the Abnegation faction?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I forgot that the factionless people don't live in the faction. Which is silly because they're called factionless. I should have known.
Okay. We'll skip that one then. You have 4.
Is one of the main 2 characters living... in this place?
Yes. It's really easy.
Is it Triss's house?
I would think. No.
Is it Orr's house?
Yes.
7 questions. I broke the record.
I tried to pick something super easy, and I just remember I kept thinking about the transfer. I thought it'd be super fun to do something from the transfer, and I couldn't think of anything. I was gonna choose one of, like, the sculpture he has.
I was thinking that you were gonna choose the sculpture.
Like, I was gonna choose the sculpture.
Like, she should choose the sculpture and get me to guess that.
But I thought you would never guess it. And then I was gonna choose, I didn't know what to choose. So I chose just something random. Alright, awesome. You won. Woohoo! Bum ba dum bum bum bum. Sure, you're our winner. And lastly,
wait a second. Hold on, Steph. I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence, and I ain't gonna lose. I'd like to thank the people.
You're not doing that over 7 questions of answers.
We are the champions.
Oh my god. Okay. Alrighty. That was well done. Good job. I will be a big sport. 20 questions, though, really? It's not like it was that hard. Let's move on, because we really need to get done, to theories. Did I say spoilers?
Spoilers!
Do you want to do Allegiant Ships, or do you want to do a different theory this week?
Well, technically, we didn't do Allegiant Ships.
And this is our last episode. Before Allegiant comes out, Sheree, what are some theories that you want to make known to the world of what you want to happen in Allegiant? It could be anything. Who dies?
I do not want Orr and Triss to die.
Really? Do you think that's a possibility?
I think that writers these days have to make their books better than the last person made their book.
You don't think she'll break them up, do you?
No. I think that they have to stay true to the characters, and these people are fearless, and they'll do anything until the end. And I think that includes putting themselves in such danger that they're close to death, and then it's literally just up to the writer whether or not they want to kill them. And I think if they wanted to make the book tragic, they would kill it, and if they wanted to make the book happy, they wouldn't kill him. And so it really just depends, and I want this to have a happy, beautiful fairy tale ending where the sky is blue and crystal clear and happiness is everywhere.
Okay, I have a question then. Now, you may have already, we may have already talked about this at one point in time, and I think you probably gave me the idea, but I don't know. Do you think that they will get split up for some reason? And maybe throughout the duration of the book, they're trying to find their way back to each other at some point in time? It would kind of make sense, considering that there's this whole two-perspective thing going on. And if we are missing, you know, Four for a large portion of the book, or missing Triss for a large portion of the book.
You just answered the question, so.
No, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm saying, do you think that's a possibility?
Well, I was going to say yes, because we have Four's perspective. I think Triss goes away for some reason, and we have to look at Triss. We have to see it through. We have to see all the action through Four's perspective.
Okay, well, I mean, but do you think that's something that she would do? I mean, she's kind of boring, but... Well, it's... Okay. Got it. I don't know if this is relevant at all, but I really want Uriah and Christina to get better. Chrisiah, I ship it. This is how it plays out in my head. So, Uriah is sad because Marlene died, and then Christina is sad because Will dies. And so they're sitting, like, together at a table or something, and they're just like, I'm so depressed. And she's like, yeah, I'm so depressed. And then... Uriah cracks a joke because he's like that. And then Christina's witty and cracks a joke back. And then they both laugh. And then they both stare at each other. And then they both start making out. And that's how it plays out in my head.
Well, that's a fan fiction if I've ever heard one.
I think they're perfect for each other. They're both witty and they're both funny. And they're my two favorite boy and girl characters. And I just want that to happen. Do you think someone's going to die?
I think that his father's going to die.
We talked about that too.
I know he's going to play a part in it, and I don't know what the part is yet. I think he's going to die.
You think Four will play a part in his dad's death?
No,
or you think that his dad's death will play a part in the story?
I'm sorry. I said that wrong. I shouldn't have used that. I think his father plays a huge part in the story, and we don't know mm-hmm. what that is yet.
Okay.
And I think he's going
to
die.
I want him to die. We've already said that, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. I do. I want Caleb to redeem himself.
Yeah.
Super excited about that. I've already talked about that before. But do you find... We talked about this once before. Do you see Caleb finding a ship anywhere in the third and final book? I mean, I'm all obsessive about ships just because I'm a girl and I'm a hopeless romantic and that's what I do. So I have to throw that out there. But what do you think? I know everyone's all concerned about Caleb redeeming himself, doing something for the better of the story or something.
If
but.
Caleb redeems himself early in the book, I can see him having a ship, but I also think it would take away from him. I think there's so much is going to happen in this last book. If she added in another ship, would it be seen from Four's perspective?
No.
Wouldn't that be the weirdest thing to read? I don't see that
What do you
happening.
mean? Hold on. Another ship, like for somebody
No, I
else?
mean, like, if there's a
Read from
girl,
Four's
Caleb, in there
perspective?
somewhere, wouldn't.
What if Four gets separated from Triss with Caleb?
Okay, you see? Then I could see it happening. And that's how he redeems himself.
Okay.
That would totally work.
All right. That could happen. So hold on. I
Ooh!
have a theory now. Go
No.
ahead.
Nothing.
What were you gonna say? You just said ooh. What was your
Nothing.
ooh for?
What if
Sheree.
Caleb redeems himself by giving his life in replace of Four's?
Aww. You know what? I would be so sad because as much as I hate Caleb, I do like Caleb. I also really like Ansel
Oh yeah,
Elgort.
he's so good
I
looking.
would
Oh my
cry.
gosh,
He's
he's like
adorable. I
classic
would cry
looking.
so
He looks like
hard.
he's from the 50s or something. I don't understand.
He
He is so
does.
classy handsome.
Oh my goodness. He is. Oh, I really hope he doesn't die. I could totally see that happening though. Because then she just. Oh, but seriously, Triss lost both of her parents. He is the only family member she
Yeah,
has
he's
left.
got to redeem himself.
I think if Caleb dies, then Marcus definitely has to die too. There's no way they can take all of Triss's family and leave Four's crappy father with him. I'm sorry.
You're just looking for excuses for Marcus to die.
I am. But seriously, can you imagine Caleb dying and Marcus living? No, it just doesn't happen. I just, no. No, I don't
Any
want that to
other,
happen.
anything else before this book comes out?
What is your overall ending do you see happening? Do you see like any type of overall resolution? It's hard to say because we don't know what exactly how she's going to play it outside the fence, but in the end, do you see the people outside of the fence coming to the factions, or do you see them going at like a big war, or do you see.
Do you think there are people outside of the faction?
I do. I definitely do. I don't see them making this big deal about the fence and then roaming around in the wilderness. I just don't see that happening. It's very anticlimactic. I don't know. I always have this village complex thinking that there is going to be this whole normal world or semi-normal world, or maybe it's a really dangerous world, but it's a world nonetheless outside of the fence, and they're going to have to learn to adapt. And the divergent people are going to be sort of like the unsung heroes because they're the only ones who know how to adapt. And then everybody, I don't know, it's hard to say if they're really brutal and ruthless. You know, maybe there's going to be some type of war going on. If they're not.
Why would there be people out there in the world and there be people over here in this fence and
Because
they not know
they
to
never
see?
left. It's
No,
ignorance.
that's not what I'm saying. They're I'm talking about the people outside the fence. Why aren't they looking to see what's inside the fence?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
See,
it's well concealed.
if there were people outside the fence, we would need a whole book devoted to what the freaking heck they're doing outside a fence.
Yes. Have you heard about this new book, Allegiant, that's going to come out? It's a whole book.
You think that book's going to be just about other people outside the fence?
Oh, like without the other characters? No. Okay, I see what you mean. You think there's going to be a whole book devoted to setting that up?
I said there would have to be if there was people outside the fence.
Not necessarily. They could just be normal people that they encounter. I mean, it's not like they're meeting a new race or they're learning a new species. They're still people. They're just not people that they're used to.
Why are there people out there that haven't looked in?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I
I
just.
just don't think that there's people out there. I think that somebody would have looked in.
What if they have somebody on the outside? What if they have somebody from the Chicago faction area on the outside making sure nobody gets in?
With what army?
I don't know.
One person can't just
What
look out.
if it's a complete mirror reversal? What if the people outside the fence also have this controlling government, maybe sort of like a legend government going on, where they, you know, maybe it's not necessarily, you know, you have to think a certain way, but they have some type of dystopian government control issue outside the fence as well as inside, and people inside break out and they all come together and defeat the world and become a great humble freedom society. I don't know.
Like, what if Allegiant ends with them finding more dystopian? What if Allegiant is about them breaking down their government and they go outside the fence and they find more people in other fences and it's like that's the cliffhanger, but then you know that what they're going to do with the rest of their lives is break down that government.
Oh my gosh, Sherry, that's awesome. But then that would mean she'd have to write more books.
Well, it would actually just leave a lot of fan fiction.
Or it would leave her for a bunch of spinoffs.
Yeah, which is like fan.
Well, I mean, not if it's from her, though. It's not fan fiction if she wrote it. But still, yeah, that'd be awesome. That is
Well,
interesting.
that is a great place to close the show.
If there are people listening, please, for the love of Jesus, write into us and tell us what your theories are, because we literally feel like we're just talking to each other all the time for no reason. I mean, there's a reason. I love talking to you, Shuri, but still, write in and tell us what you think about your theories. I'm gonna figure out how to work it out on Tumblr, how you ask people stuff on Tumblr. I'm gonna figure that out, and we'll talk about that
So,
too. Do you want to do book recommendations before we leave?
sure.
Short ones. Okay. What's your book
What's your
recommendation for the week, Shuri?
recommendation, Stephanie?
I said I had one, didn't I? Okay, yeah. My book recommendation is called The Iron King. I'm pretty sure it's called The Iron King. Okay, basically, there's a series called the Iron Fey series. It's not a dystopian book. I was trying to find something kind of dystopian-ish. It's like a fantasy book. It's in the world of fairies, fey creatures. Okay? Basically, it's about this girl who finds out that she is half fey or half fairy. And somebody kidnaps her brother, and she thinks it's one of these, alternate universe fairy creatures who does it. And so she is going into that world, and she learns about it, and it's really, really cool and interesting, and I really
Who's the
liked it.
author?
Oh, it's by, okay, so the book is called The Iron King, and it's by Julia Kagawa, and that is what it's about. It's like a modern little fairy tale book, so that's my recommendation.
I'm going to recommend the book The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis and all of the series that follow that. If you, for any reason, have decided not to read the books, either because you watched the movie or you were waiting for the movies to get better after that crappy third adaptation, just go ahead and read the books. Seriously, they're like child level reading books, but I think that, I mean, I know 5-year-olds that love this book, okay? It is amazing. The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And that's the name of the book I'm recommending. And then all of the Chronicles of Narnia books are awesome, and they're by C.S. Lewis, and he's an amazing writer and an amazing storyteller.
Awesome. I have never read them. I don't look at me like that, Shuri. I haven't read Harry Potter either, so just calm down. I am in school. I am in college. I'm trying to read.
Stephanie, those are the two best book
I
series.
have to read The Life of Cleopatra before I can read anything else. It's
You read
frustrating.
Twilight before you read Harry
That's not,
Potter.
you know what? I blame you. You were my friend at the time. I blame you. It was your responsibility to make sure that I was properly educated. Don't make that face. You were making the horrible faces at me. So yeah, those are our book recommendations. I will try to get the episode edited super quickly. For those of you who don't know, find all of our book recommendations. If you're like me, you forget everything. We put all of them up from, first episode up on the website at factionfandom.com. Or you can email us at factionfandompodcast@gmail.com. Tell us your theories. Tell us what you like about the book or if you have any questions. And then you can also follow us on our factionisfandom.tumblr.com. So yeah, definitely check those out. I'm going to try to work on getting a Twitter set up. Despite my reservations, don't make that face, Shuri. People socialize. They need a social network they can trust on. Some people don't get on Tumblr. Some people get on Twitter. Who the heck knows? And we will get another podcast up. Hopefully, you'll hear from us after Allegiant. Is that, Shuri, how many days do you think we should give each other to read the book before we start recording again?
Three.
3 days after
Okay,
Allegiant?
I'm not even gonna have Allegiant bought when it comes out because I won't be able to get over to a bookstore.
Okay.
When does it come out? The 22nd? Okay, it comes out on a Tuesday. I don't even think I'll
Yeah.
be until at least a. I'll have to go that Friday.
That's okay.
And
That Friday
I'll
then.
read it that Saturday,
Okay.
which means.
We'll give you a week then. Our normal standard 2 week time period. Hopefully not a 3 week time period, and we'll talk about then.
Yeah.
Okay. I am Stephanie.
And I'm Cherie.
Bye
Thanks
guys.
for listening.
Is it at tumblr.com? There's no at. I don't
My
know.
gosh, Stephanie, it's so embarrassing to hear you ask that question.
Sorry. My bad. Do you do a lot with the Tumblr, Sheree? Is it successful?
We have like 5 followers, if that's what you call successful, and I don't.
Do you think that means that we have 5 listeners?
No, because 2 of the followers are you and I.
Okay, never mind. We won't include that.
And she does this tuck and roll maneuver. Why is that even important to have them?
I don't know why. See, I don't know why. I think about stories, Sheree, and I think about all the little details. And in my mind, some of these details are important. And maybe they're not important to everybody else, but they were important to me when I read the story. And so I think about putting them in there, and I don't know. Like, and, where do we leave off of? I can't remember where we left off at in chapter 12.
Are you legitimately not reading the first sentence?
Oh my gosh, yeah, no, I'm not reading. I'm reading what it's, Christina hangs off the chasm. I'm not.
You were like,
say!
I thought it was one of those things where you give me, like, the opening to talk first, you know, so you're like, oh, so where did we pick up yesterday? So I, like, start reading.
Sorry. I really just hadn't started reading it by then. Okay,
You're so sorry, Sammy. It's so funny. Oh my god. I probably your blooper reel. Oh my god.
I probably should have read through this.
Okay, well, let me just give you one word for this type of spinoff. And they'll tell you the direction it's going in.
Okay.
Jafar.
What is that supposed to mean?